Welcome. My name is Dr. Lauren Cohen, and I'm your host for the Spiritual Success Summit. We are here to pull back the curtain to reveal the challenges, myths, and misconceptions that we often experience when applying the principles of consciousness and spirituality into our lives, and to provide practical and tangible solutions so you can successfully create the spiritually inspired life you desire. Today's guest has 2 decades of experience as a somatic or body-centered psychotherapist, helping her clients tap into their own unique and innate wisdom by using the body as a tool for transformation. She believes the body holds powerful, often untapped wisdom that can lead us into the unknowns of the mind and can be a necessary resource for change. I am so excited to have Angie Chasas Phillips join us and share her wisdom with us today. Angie, welcome.
Thanks so much, Lauren. It's really fun to be chatting on the phone with you and really excited to be a part of this. It's just wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for pulling all these people together and, you know, having the passion to bring all of this knowledge forward.
Yes, and thank you so much for being a part of this. This is really a conversation, you know, whose time has come, and it's so wonderful to have you come and speak into that conversation. So tell us a little bit about your own personal journey.
Yeah, well, I'm all about conversation as a therapist. Dialogue is kind of my life's work, and specifically relationships. So I am the clinical director of the Center for Relational and Family Wellness at Noeticus Counseling Center and Training Institute in Denver, Colorado. I've been with Noeticus for about 5 years, and my passion, the thing that really brought me there is my passion for helping people transform their lives through the power of improving their relationships. I think a lot of the struggles that we have in the world have to do with relationship. When we're struggling, even when it's with ourselves, our relationships have such an impact. And my personal journey definitely speaks to that. I received my master's in somatic counseling psychology from Naropa University in the early 2000s, and went on to realize that even as a therapist, a practicing therapist, my relationships were the thing that kind of wrecked me, that I really struggled with. And I kept thinking, my gosh, I have all of this knowledge. I've done all the studies. I've done all the research. And why is this area still holding me back? Why do I feel like a failure? So really kind of, you know, dove into a lot of the relationship models and ultimately found a man by the name of Dr. Brent J. Atkinson. He wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence in Couples Therapy, Advances in Neurobiology and the Science of Intimate Relationships. And that became kind of like a Bible for me for a couple years. And this is about a dozen years ago. Ultimately, I went to Geneva, Illinois, and studied. I did intensives with Dr. Atkinson and have become very good friends, and his model really changed my life. It's very kind of neuroscience-based. It's looking at how we are originally wired for our earliest relationships in our families of origin and how that wiring shows up in our adult intimate relationships in ways that usually don't work very well for people. And I find that's kind of what gets people off track in their personal lives, in their ability to really evolve in their consciousness and awareness and even spirituality. So that is kind of my foundation. And, you know, when you talk about the Spiritual Success Summit and you say, you know, we're talking about spirituality and consciousness, I definitely lean more toward consciousness. Spirituality feels really big to me. But consciousness is something that we do together. You know, we're innately wired to be on this journey interdependently. We're not on it solo. So we're doing it all together. So that's kind of my foundation.
Yeah, and you know, and I love that you share that we are on this journey together. And that's why, again, you know, bringing this summit, you know, with all of these, you know, speakers and experts, is we're all human and we're all in this together. And I love that we're sharing and we're supporting each other, not only each other, you know, as professionals, but we're also supporting each other as human beings. We're supporting our listeners. We're all playing a part of this. And in the conscious world, and you know, and oftentimes, you also said something interesting, is the verbiage of spirituality versus consciousness or self-actualization is when you really define them, it's actually the same definition. We just simply might call it something different based on our personal come from. Even that often gets people tripped up on their journey because they're thinking that consciousness and spirituality and self-actualization are all separate things. In fact, they all, you know, they all come together. And I absolutely adore the work that you do. You and I have very related work, you know, speaking into the body and teaching people how I verbalize it is helping them to translate the languages of the body. And oftentimes the spiritual or conscious journey is very either intellectual or we kind of sort of separate it from self, when in fact, it's really about gaining connection to self. So
it is. There's a lot of people in the world living kind of from the neck up, you know, kind of connected to the knowledge base, rather than really delving into the wisdom of the body and using that as a tool.
Yeah, and it's a necessary tool to bridge this gap between the philosophy and the practice. As we're moving through, you know, from one consciousness time to another, we're moving from a time where we valued intellectual learning and knowledge very highly.
Right.
And we're moving now into a time of experiential knowledge and learning, but we haven't really been taught how to actually be in experience. So many people are caught in the intellectual, like they understand it, they know it, and that's actually in the video that little mini video, I spoke about this, that we all speak a really good spiritual game because we all have the intellectual side of this down, but the challenge is not being able to bring it into form. So this is really leading me into our main question is in your experience on your own personal journey and also professionally with your clients, what are the greatest challenges, myths, and misconceptions that you find people are experiencing along their journey?
Well, Lauren, you spoke to it so beautifully just now. I think it's, in my opinion, the belief that they can change, that any of us can change our internal experience by increasing our knowledge base alone. You know, I think that we are, as you and I spoke the other day, we are living in this age of information, and it is being spread, you know, through the World Wide Web at rates that have never before been humanly possible. We're connecting on these global scales, and information is just, it's an amazing shift. We have a big paradigm shift going on. What I find, though, and this is, again, I'll relate this kind of to the work that I do and the relationships that I work with and that perspective of using the body. You know, a lot of times people will come in and see me, and the sense is, you know, kind of what my old belief used to be is I've done all this work. I've done therapy for years. I've read all the right books. I'm constantly attending seminars and doing all this stuff. But things aren't changing. And I think it's we're using a top-down approach, an outside-in approach, versus doing, you know, really integrating this bottom-up, inside-out approach. And that's where I've become, I was never a big science student in my earlier days, but I've kind of become this neuroscience geek. And really looking at how we are wired for relationship, how we're wired to see the world, all of those things, that early wiring, as we get older and those things don't quite fit, we read a lot of books on changing them, but actually implementing those changes is really difficult. You know, I often use the example if someone were to begin a new fitness regimen, they don't necessarily read a whole bunch of books and all of a sudden have a new body. They might need to hire a coach or a trainer. They first learn form and function, and it's awkward, and it's messy, and it doesn't feel right, and it hurts. But as their bodies learn to integrate new information from a physiological perspective, there's rewiring that happens. The muscles are changing. The structure of the body changes. The way that we hold ourselves change. And our neural wiring is really similar to that. There are certain pathways that our minds automatically take when certain things happen in our lives. You know, there's a certain external stimulus, and our brains automatically respond to that based on, like I said, that early wiring, how we were taught to perceive those things. And when that happens, we can't help but see them the way that we're wired to see them. And what I love is when people start recognizing that, oh, I can actually begin to see from a different lens. So it's not necessarily the shift of information from outside in. It's how am I perceiving that information from the inside out? Is that making sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And there's two really important points that you made, one of which is something that I think, again, many people don't really connect the physical, the neurological, as being part of spiritual or being part of consciousness. And But I see the human body as one of the most miraculous aspects of spirituality. When we speak about the perfection of divine design, and mm-hmm. the human body is the physical expression of, you know, quote, the divine,
mm-hmm.
you know, the universal wisdom, if you will.
Yeah.
And recognizing that the old consciousness perception and perspective was very polar, that everything is separated. And what we did in that time is we looked at the whole and we separated it out. Like, for example, with the human body, when we study the human body, we dissect it into its different systems and different functions, different cells. But oftentimes, especially even in our healthcare models, we forget to bring the body back together as it actually functions in the real world. And the same thing happens in the perception of, you know, of, say, spirituality and consciousness, is that people are keeping the concept separate without recognizing that when we bring the intellectual and then we add in the experiential, that our physical and physiology also changes in relation to that. That they
it,
all
it absolutely
work
does.
Together
yeah.
at simultaneously. It's
right.
part of the greater whole as opposed to separate individual things. So
right.
I love that you're bringing in the conversation of the neuroscience. And, you know, the pieces that most people think have absolutely nothing to do with spirituality and consciousness.
Right, right. And, you know, and I can fully understand what you're saying there. One of the things that I really try to help people do is to slow down and actually notice pure sensation. And I think there's, you know, we forget to notice sensation. When someone says, how are you feeling? And we say, good or bad, or I'm angry at my partner, or, you know, we can often kind of either externalize our feelings, or we can kind of have, relate to them from, like I said, the neck up, the head up. So they become kind of the logical, rational meaning-making of our feelings, but not necessarily the connection to what are our bodies actually feeling in the moment. And sometimes it's scary to do that because sometimes our bodies don't feel great. Some things feel really uncomfortable, things that we don't necessarily want to be feeling. And so we do a lot of things to avoid those things, to dismiss, suppress, negate, you know, find ways to not feel those things for at least a little while. But the beauty of really learning how to track sensation in the body, learning to trust that there is some innate wisdom there is really a profound shift for most people. You know, when I first ask, let's say, a partner in a couple, I'll say, how are you feeling right now? And initially one person might say, well, I feel like he's being a jerk. You know, I feel like the other person is. And I'll say, well, let's bring it back to you. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling really frustrated. I'll say, okay, let's go even deeper. What's underneath the frustration? And they'll say, you know, really, I'm just so hurt. I'm really sad. And then I'll go even deeper. What's happening in your body? Well, really, I'm not breathing very well. My shoulders are kind of collapsed, and I feel like this churning in my stomach. And when people slow down enough to actually begin to access what's happening in my body right now, and they begin to actually see patterns, actual habitual ways that our bodies respond to stress, and they begin to actually allow those sensations and move through them and to transform, and they're no longer just suppressing or trying to avoid or trying to, make meaning out of them in their heads, it's amazing how those sensations can be the thing that transforms, the thing that allows us to go, oh, there's a reason that I'm feeling this way. And it's telling me that I need to attend to some part of myself in a new way. And that's really exciting. That's where I feel like transformation in relationship happens. And that's when people start to step into their own wisdom, to their own knowledge. You know, we each have our own unique bodies and way of expressing ourselves in the world. And we sometimes forget how to take up our space, you know, when we're trying to fit in or do things right. And I love when people come into contact with sensation, with honest, authentic feeling, and they're able to express those things.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that the process is really very easy. You know, when I'm working with my clients in a similar fashion, usually they go, wow, was that it? And I'm like, uh-huh. And they're like, why weren't we doing this before? And the honest answer is simply because we weren't taught, period, is that these are something I call them God-given gifts, meaning they're just part of the divine design. It's that all of this information that we're seeking, all of the wisdom, the inner guidance, is all built right in through our emotional feelings, our physical sensations. And all of that, but it's a figurative language, not a literal one. So the body and the emotions are expressing through sensation, through experience. And you mentioned that, you know, oftentimes people, you know, get frightened about feeling. And the reason that I think we're frightened is not that it's really that frightening once you understand how to have a relationship with it. It's that it's completely foreign. Like, we've been taught from the jump, like, I know for me and my family and my culture, we were taught that symptoms of the body, any kind of sensation, you know, that is uncomfortable is really bad and you're supposed to get rid of it. And emotions,
right.
Look what we do with our emotions in our, you know, in our society. It's like, do we use them as a navigation tool or do we, you know, try to do everything we can, like as if being sad or angry or, you know, or feeling lonely, abandoned, hurt, you know, somehow are these evil things that we're supposed to get rid of right away. And if we can't, then we try to medicate them away.
Right.
Instead of recognizing that what that is that those sensations, those experiences, those feelings are inner navigation tools. They have wisdom. And here's a quote that I grabbed right from your website. and you said, our bodies can yield even more wisdom than our thinking brains.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks for pulling that. That's fun. It's fun to hear. You know, I think that we do really have an epidemic right now. And it's not so much an epidemic of addiction or an epidemic of obesity. It's an epidemic of disconnection to ourselves. We don't necessarily want to feel what we're feeling, and there are so many ways to avoid it, you know, through alcohol and drugs, through sex, through a whole massive load of digital means, through over-exercising, through overeating, through, you know, there's just shopping, you name it. We find ways to avoid being in our lives, being in our bodies. And when I can find the part of people who want to slow down and actually connect to what they feel in the moment, even though it's messy and uncomfortable, there's something that's really heart-opening about that. You know, when we can learn to cultivate more tolerance for the yucky feelings in life, the things that are uncomfortable, and we can expand our heart's capacity to tolerate that, I feel like we're expanding our heart's capacity to feel more joy, to feel more love, to feel more intimacy. It's like stretching one side stretches the other side. You know, it's kind of like increasing muscle also increases a lot of other capacity. You know, our hearts and our minds are the same way.
Yeah, you know, in our emotions, when we look at it from an energetic standpoint, our emotions are simply energy in motion. It's an energetic expression.
Mm-hmm.
We just define in our culture, we define energy a little differently. But emotions are an energetic expression. And energy is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It's how we frame it, how we perceive the experience of this energy that will move it into a positive or negative direction, if you will. And I often, you know, I often share and teach the concept of the magnitude of energy, that we know that the vibration of love has a much higher, you know, vibration and resonance than, you know, some of the other vibrations. The however is, how do we shift it from one to the other? So the if you look at the magnitude of the energy of, say, the trauma, the pain, the hurt, the discomfort, the sadness, and you look at the magnitude of that energy, and then when we are trying to deny that expression, think about how much additional energy we need to hold that back or hold that down. So most of our energy is being invested in stopping this energetic communication from coming through. And when we learn how to translate, have relationship with these experiences, and we're able to then, you know, harness that energy and flip it and then use it to heal, it drives our healing process, our growth, our transformational process.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what you're speaking is, you know, really this entire, you know, this entire experience and process is about moving us towards more love and more joy. But we have to harness the energy, kind of like surfing a wave. You know, we can stand in the ocean and have the wave, you know, brace against the wave and have the wave crash over us, or we can jump on a surfboard and ride the energy of the wave.
Right. I love the way you're talking about that. It's really a beautiful image. And it is that, you know, when we can actually tolerate the discomfort, we begin to kind of appreciate it. You know, I love when I'm working with a client who previously maybe would go through difficult times and just really struggle with staying with the emotion, you know, whether they might, you know, kind of unconsciously dissociate from it or actively find ways to avoid it. And then later on in our work, you know, I find people saying things like, you know, it's so painful to feel this right now, but I'm just letting myself feel it and I'm okay. You know, and that's where that, what you're talking about, it's not necessarily that the external experience changes, it's how we are perceiving it. You know, I have kind of a funny little story. My partner and I we're not ones who argue and fight a lot, but every once in a while, you know, I'll have disagreements and it's so funny because so often if and when that happens, sometimes he'll look at me and say, okay, we're arguing right now. Why do you have a smile on your face? And I'll say, well, it's because it's really okay. I'm actually just experiencing this so fully, and I'm so happy that I'm in it with you. And you know, then usually the argument's over because he thinks I'm so odd for having the experience. But there's something really just beautiful about being able to be in the experience we're having without attaching to a certain outcome, without attaching to how we're supposed to be experiencing it, but just trusting, you know, what's happening in my body? What am I really feeling right now? Am I staying congruent with myself? And when we're able to do that, something is shifting inside, you know, and I love the field of neuroscience and how they've discovered, you know, the brain is pretty plastic. And when we're making these changes from the inside out, you know, we actually see structural changes in the brain. You know, these new neurons are firing in really different patterns and things really begin to shift. You know, our old habits, whether emotional or relational or spiritual habits, you know, those persist because they're literally woven into the fabric of internal states that are automatically activated in our daily living constantly. And so they're kind of like rust in the road. And when we begin to make those changes based on first, you know, there is the importance, I'll kind of jump in here, with there is the importance of the pragmatic, the didactic learning, that knowledge base, but then integrating it into the body through experience, often with a little support from a coach, a helper, or a therapist, and someone who can help us all slow down and try on new practices in those moments when our bodies are activated, when our minds are activated, and we tend to automatically go into habitual ways of being. When we can change, when we can begin to shift those, you know, there's powerful transformation that happens. And I love when people say to me, it feels different. Something feels different in my body. I can't even really explain it, but I feel a little more solid. I feel a little more capable. You know, that's really exciting stuff to me.
Yeah. And I just love that you do, you feel the transformation in the moment. Yeah. And when we think about, you know, these sensations, these experiential, experiences, if you will, is that they're communications. And when we continue to ignore or try to suppress these or mute these expressions, they tend to get louder in their physical expression. So our symptoms get bigger. But when we are able to recognize, oh, hey, wait, some aspect of my inner being is attempting to get my attention and bring my awareness, and we take a moment to be in relationship with ourselves, and we bring that wisdom forth, the inner being says, great, you know, she's heard me, and it goes away. Then, you know, the need for that constant physical reminder just simply dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is a physical difference, like from one moment to the next, the physical experience is completely different in our body.
Right, right. So, and I love that you're bringing it back. Here we are in the body again, and we each have this one unique resource, each one of us, so unique and so capable of making huge changes. And this is the foundation right here. My breathing, my sensation, my body. And this is how I get to do it right now in this moment, you know? Like learning to identify signals that are related to habitual ways that we maybe get off track. And we start to short circuit those and start to kind of begin new patterns that stimulate internal change. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, and and I love the way you said it. It is, it's the foundation. It's the basic skills of spirituality, self-knowing, inner guidance, consciousness, is to be able to understand self. And, like in basketball, you have to learn the basic skills. You have to know how to dribble.
Right.
Before you can play the game.
Form and function first.
Right, and, you know, and we get into this journey without those skills. And then wonder why we're having difficulty playing the game. So So
right.
you bring up such a great point
in this. There's a certain vulnerability in stepping into that unknown. You know, when we're learning new skills, we have this idea that when it comes to relationship and when it comes to being in our bodies, we're supposed to just kind of automatically have it figured out. And it's just not so. You know, research will say that maybe one in four people actually have the skills that are really crucial, absolutely necessary for healthy relationships. Now, who knows what the research is in relationship to ourselves, but most of us just didn't get that modeling from our early family of origins. And we just have to step into it ourselves and step into the vulnerability of not knowing and trusting that the journey will lead us there, that we're on the right path.
Mm-hmm. I think that so well said. So well said.
Mm-hmm.
Just trusting it. Because I know for me, I wasn't given the instruction manual when I arrived.
Right.
I had to learn it and am still learning it along my own personal journey.
Absolutely. So, the lifelong journey that we are all on.
Oh.
Together.
Wonderful. And I'm so excited. You have a gift for our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how they can access it?
I do. So some time ago, I started a blog a few years back, and it's called fitforintimacy.com. And really, the only reason that I do this is because I'm just really passionate about sharing stories and about connecting with people. I love to, you know, I'll have a certain experience in my life that brings forth some personal learning, and I want to share it with the world, and so I write it down and I share it. And like I said, most of my life, my life's work is around relationship and exploring, like, how intimacy and relationship can be such transformational ground for us. And so I wrote a 17-page ebook. Called the 10 Rules for or 10 Rules of Intimacy, and there's a free download if you go to my website, and you can check that out, download it. Just kind of fun, some little tips on slowing down, being in our bodies, honoring our relationships in maybe different ways than you've tried before. You know, some experiential practices that people can really try. So if people want to check that out, you go to www.fitforintimacy.com/10-rules-4-intimacy/. So hopefully that's not too much, and I think that you have a link there, Lauren, that you're going to be sending out at some point. But
yes,
I would love to hear your feedback.
Super.
And, I'd love to hear what people think. Would love to hear what the response is, and really just excited to be joining in this wonderful conversation with you.
So, and thank you for all that you've shared. This was such a wonderful discussion. Do you have a practical tip that you can give our listeners that they can begin using right away?
Well, that's a great question. I think that so much of what you and I have been talking about, and I feel like we could chat for hours on this. But I feel like what we've been talking about is essentially slowing down, checking out what's underneath. And so I'd love to provide a little reframe for people. You know, life brings difficulty. That is just the truth, right? And so rather than kind of resisting the difficulty that life brings, whether it's an argument with a partner or a coworker or friend, whether it is just a moment of overwhelm and stress, any of those things that we get upset, we get really uncomfortable, and we kind of fight and want to avoid it, I want to offer a little reframe to, if you can, you know, because the brain will want to automatically do what it normally does. But to simply see those moments as opportunities to do something a little bit differently, to just take a moment and slow down and notice the thoughts that are coming into your mind about what's happened the experience of what's happening in the moment right now, to slow down enough where you can really check in on a body level. Notice what's happening with my breathing right now. What's happening with regard to sensation? Where am I holding tension in my body? You know, what's happening inside? And to just for a moment, let that be. Let that be something that you say, this is something kind of habitual. This is a pattern. Usually when I'm upset, this is kind of what happens. Because we all tend to have those habitual ways of reacting to life. And to simply slow those things down and just welcome it. Welcome that there's more than likely a deeper wisdom in what our bodies are trying to tell us. And when we start to tap into that wisdom, I think that's where change really begins to happen.
Beautiful.
That's what I would say.
So, you know, so simple to slow down and become
down.
Aware.
Yeah.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Angie, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lauren. I really appreciate it. Great to be a part of it. Great to talk with you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. Until next time, be well and live a successful, spiritually inspired life.